wanted to hide in the mashed potatoes. A real man faces his conflicts, Chippy, on his own. I started to walk away, then stopped and backed up. Just in case you decide to go crying to Daddy because I had the balls to talk to you. I flicked the card from Hewson, Heiligman, and Keene so that it landed in the middle of the table. Tell him to call my lawyer. The security guard walked me to the guidance counselor's office so I could pick up my paperwork, then to the attendant's office so I could sign out, then to the front door. That was nice of him. As I approached the wall of doors that faced the flagpole, I saw Bethany's reflection in the glass. She was running towards us, carrying the pink blanket. "Tyler!" she called. I hesitated, my shoulder against the door. "I want to talk to you," she said, pouting, hands on her hips. "I mean, I think we should talk." I smiled at her reflection, pushed open the door, and left. One more loose end. Since I didn't have an appointment, the secretary at the courthouse said I'd have to wait an hour before Mr. Benson could see me. While I was waiting, I called Pirelli Landscaping and left a message saying I could work weekends again if Mr. Pirelli was interested. My stomach gurgled. I hadn't eaten anything at lunch, and I was feeling sick from all that homework the night before. The taste of the Beretta was still in my mouth and nose, lurking in the background. I put three sticks of gum in my mouth and pulled a Highlights magazine from the stack on the table. I used to love going to the dentist so I could read it. I kept one hand curled around the edge of the chair to keep me steady. I wasn't on thin ice anymore, but everything still felt slippery. There was a chance I was going to fall flat on my face, but I had to keep moving. Mr. Benson did not flash his possum teeth when I was finally ushered into his office. I explained I was trying to take control of a few things, and I wanted to know what was going to happen to my probation because of the party violations.
"Assuming you're not arrested?"
he asked, leaning back in his chair. "Yes, assuming that." He put his hands behind his head and asked me questions about school and life and attitude and girlfriends, and just about everything except for the kind of underwear I wore. I didn't think it would be so complicated, but I answered everything and tried not to sweat. He finally set the front legs of the chair back on the floor.
"If they let you off the hook for the camera thing, no charges at all. I'll recommend 6 more months probation and community service. The judge will probably accept my recommendations. What do you think?"
"Sounds fair. Can I work with the janitors again?"
"Don't see why not."
He stood up. I did the same and reached out to shake his hand. "Thank you, sir."
"Pleasure's all mine."
The day had unfolded precisely the way I'd planned. The bus showed up at the corner just as I left the courthouse. I got a seat that didn't smell funny. An abandoned newspaper was on the seat next to me. When I read about a car crash, I did not imagine myself going through the windshield. When I read about a fire, I didn't feel the flames. I was a boy on a bus going somewhere, for a change. The walk from the bus stop to Yoda's house took 10 minutes. His parents had just gone grocery shopping, and their pantry was packed with snacks and soda. We took a couple armloads to the basement, where I spent the afternoon kicking his butt in an empire far, far away. It was the perfect day, right up until the hysterical phone call from my mother. 74. It didn't matter how many times I saw it. A police car in my driveway always gave me a jolt. Mom jumped off the living room couch and threw herself at me, hugging hard enough to fracture my ribs. Her mascara was running in 2 black crayon streaks down her face. I patted her on the back, tried to breathe, and looked around for my sister. She wasn't there. Officer Adams was. He studied the shine on his shoes and the cobwebs strung along the crown molding as we waited for her to finish. Mom pulled away with a loud gulp. "I'm sorry," she said. "I didn't realize how scared I was until just this moment." She smoothed the mascara stains on my shirt.
"Have a seat," Adam suggested. "I'm sure you have a lot of questions."
Mom sat on the couch. I stayed on my feet.
"What's going on?"
Adams cleared his throat.
"We arrested a student from Forestdale this morning for all the crimes associated with the photographs taken of Bethany Milbury."
"What's his name?"
"I can't tell you. He's 16.
Mom puddled up again and snagged a Kleenex out of the box on the end table.
"Why him?" I asked. "We received a couple tips about his behavior at the party. Our computer guys were able to trace the original upload of the pictures to an account paid for by the suspect's grandmother. The grandmother is loaded, and we've been fencing with her lawyers all week. But we have all the evidence we need now. He's going to do time, no question about it."
The words rippled over me.
"I apologize for any inconvenience," Adams said. "But we had to perform a thorough investigation."
"Tyler?" Mom asked. "Honey, are you okay?"
"You're sure?" I repeated. "You're not going to come back next week and say you changed your mind?"
Adams explained the whole thing again. He added that he had emailed the school's administrators, and he would follow up with a phone call to Mr. Hughes in the morning.
"My deputy is putting your computer back in your room right now," he said. "If you have any problems with it, don't hesitate to give our office a call."
He stood up and straightened the creases on his pants.
"I imagine you're relieved. I'm just sorry we couldn't clear this up any faster."
They looked at me. It was my turn to speak or burst into tears. Show some gratitude, at least. I didn't feel grateful. I just felt tall. The deputy came down the stairs, Hannah close behind. Adam stood up.
"You'll need to call your PO this week."
"Already did," I said. "I met with him this afternoon."
Adams nodded. "I'll make sure his office gets the paperwork. Sorry again for the inconvenience."
"When will Dad be home?" I asked as the cop car pulled out of sight.
"His plane landed an hour ago," Mom said. "He had an emergency meeting with Bryce. Do you want Chinese or pizza?"
Something hit the house just as Mom, Hannah, and I were about to dig into a stress-free, MSG-enhanced meal in the family room with Alex Trebek. Mom had lit fat, white candles for atmosphere, the soda cans were popped open, and the soy sauce was poured. A car turned into the driveway going too fast. There was the squeal of brakes and a slight thud, which turned out to be Dad's car hitting the back wall of the garage. The house shook again seconds later when he slammed the door. He made it to the family room in 6 quick strides. He stopped when he saw me at the end of the couch.
"You son of a bitch!"
My heart lurched, but I forced myself to slurp up the strands of my lo mein.
"Look who's home."
His jacket and tie were missing, his top 2 buttons unbuttoned. There were sweat stains under his arms. His eyes were bloodshot, and his comb-over looked like a squirrel had run through it. Mom shook her head.
"Tyler, hush!"
Dad swayed and put his hand on the wall to balance himself.
"You little bastard!"
I opened another packet of soy sauce and poured it on my noodles. "Those names insult Mom, not me. Want to try again?" Hannah gasped.
"That's it."
He started across the carpet for me. "I wait until he's in arm's reach. I wait until he hits me, until he's off balance and unprepared. I punch him square in the middle of his body. I collapse his lungs and stop his heart. He drops to the ground." I stood up. No, Bill, no! Mom shrieked as she stepped between us and grabbed Dad. What are you doing?
Proud of yourself? He asked over Mom's shoulder. You finally stuck it to me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Milbury fired me. He's blaming me for Nebraska. He wants to sacrifice me to the feds. But we both know the real story, don't we, Tyler John?
You've been drinking, Bill, Mom said. Please calm down.
Shut up, Linda.
As the words hit, Mom's head snapped up and her chin jutted forward. I pick him up by the throat and lift him slowly until his feet dangle 3 inches from the floor. He can't make a sound. His fingers claw desperately at my hands. His feet kick. I squeeze. Mom let go of Dad and walked over to stand next to Hannah in arm's reach of the fireplace pokers. The police were here, she said. They arrested the boy who took those pictures. Tyler is completely innocent.
What?
He cocked his head to one side. It's over, Mom said. The whole thing. She filled him in on what the police told us, her voice like glass. Dad paused, his forehead wrinkled with effort.
You're sure this isn't a trick?
Disappointed? I asked. He smoothed his hairs over the top of his scalp, trying to line them up between his fingers.
That doesn't change anything. Your shenanigans cost me my job. That means no money, no college, no house.
I don't understand, Hannah said. How did Tyler get you fired?
He threatened to beat the crap out of Milbury's son at school today. There are 20 witnesses. He's obsessed with that family.
I scratched my chin. My beard was beginning to grow in faster.
Wrong, I told him. You were fired because you screwed up. Or maybe you're a scapegoat, but it wasn't me.
Enough! Dad's arm hit the closest TV tray. 3 containers of food flew through the air and smacked the wall with a wet sound, the candlelight glittering like tracer fire before it was put out in the duck sauce. Mom's cheeks were flecked with black drops of soy. Hannah whimpered. Dad spun on his heel and disappeared down the stairs to the basement. Alex Trebek told us to stay tuned. Hannah helped Mom sit down on the couch, then picked up the remote and turned off the television. Why did you have to make it worse? She asked me. You could have just let him calm down. I picked a napkin off the floor, sat down next to Mom, and wiped the gunk off her face. Are you okay? I asked. He's under a lot of stress. She took the napkin from me. We all are. She walked over to the mess on the floor. Let's pick this up. Oh no, there's wax on the carpet. While Hannah and I picked up the remains of dinner, Mom twisted an ice cube tray in the kitchen. The sound of ice cracking echoed off the appliances and tile like a gunshot. It made me jump. She came in carrying the ice in one hand and 2 $20 bills in the other. I want you to go to the movies, she said. Tyler, you can drive the van. Your license is in the box on your father's bureau.
I know.
Hannah interrupted. Aren't you coming with us? I have a headache, Mom said. I'm going to rest. That way your father will have a quiet house. Hannah said something soothing about Tylenol and a cold compress. My hands itched. The open blisters were on fire. The heat spread up my arms, across my shoulders, and down my body like sheets of flame that welded all my bits and pieces together. I looked down at the carpet, half expecting to see it melt under my feet. The table lamps seemed to have new bulbs in them, clean bulbs that highlighted the grease spots on the wall, every line in my mother's face, and the nervous glances that Hannah sent to the basement door. Their shadows were stark. Hannah pretended to smile as she buried Mom's money deep in the pocket of her jeans. Mom crouched and put the ice on the wax stuck to the carpet.
"This is bullshit," I blurted out.
"What?" Mom asked.
"Why can't we admit what's going on here? Sending us to the movies? Pretending you just need a nap? It's all bullshit. Covering up for him makes it worse."
"Don't, Ty," Hannah said. "We're all just trying to get through this," Mom said.
"That's not good enough," I said.
"Not anymore." I crossed the room and opened the basement door and walked down the first three steps.
"No one is to come down here," roared William T. Miller.
I retreated up the stairs to the kitchen, reached in the front hall closet, and took out my baseball bat. Without looking at my mother, I adjusted my armor and headed back down. 75. It was dark down there, but I could see him in the recliner, his shoes off, his headphones already on, and music flowing through them. He had not touched his computer. I flicked on the overhead lights. His eyes opened. "I need to be alone, Tyler." I walked past the recliner to the bookcase that held his stereo equipment, crouched down, and unplugged the receiver. Dad rocked the recliner forward and threw his headphones to the ground.
"Don't push me."
I stood up. "I want to talk."
"Put the bat down."
"Forget it." His eyes widened.
"Excuse me?"
"You heard me. You're not going to scream and intimidate me. Not today, Dad." The hand holding the bat was sweating. Mom crept down the stairs, afraid of what she would find at the bottom.
"Is everything okay?"
"Leave us alone, Linda," Dad said.
I leaned against the door that led to the storage room, my left hand resting on the table covered with a dusty train set. Santa was still riding high. The mountaintop was dirty.
"This will only take a minute," I said. "She should stay."
Mom's eyes ran back and forth between Dad and me. Then she slowly sank down and sat on the third step from the bottom. Dad's eyes narrowed.
"You have 2 seconds.
"Give him a chance, Bill," Mom said.
"This is between him and me, Linda. Be quiet."
My heart pounded double time, a hammer beating on the inside of my ribs. My mouth went dry. Adrenaline surged, screaming through my brain, begging me to take him down. A red haze filtered over everything like a light rain.
"I'm a part of this," Mom insisted.
"Go upstairs," Dad told her.
"Shut up,"
I said it calmly, the way you might say, "looks like rain," or "the mail's here." Mom drew in a little breath and hugged herself.
"What did you just say?"
Dad stepped towards me, wings unfolding.
"I told you to shut up."
"How dare you?" Dad spat.
"You ungrateful—"
"Bill, can't you see what's going on?" Mom pleaded.
"Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!"
Dad yelled, his fists balled tight. There was a click, a faint click that I felt more than I heard. Something snapped. I picked up the bat. I brought it up in a perfect arc to achieve maximum velocity and force, then smashed it into the model train set, sending Santa plunging down the mountain and exploding the pretend world.
Thwack, 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 thwack. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mom screamed. Dad grabbed at my arms.
Thwack, 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 thwack.
The temporary rivets holding me together loosened,
glowing hot under the pressure that prevented me from turning the bat on my father and breaking it over his head until he was a pile of splintered bone and broken track, beating him until the wheels came off. I hit the train table harder so I wouldn't hit him. Mom screamed again, and Hannah was there, and Dad finally stepped back, and I stopped. All I could hear